Let's get fucking lucky! Lucky, baby!
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better. Woo!
You know, two dudes talking sports.
It doesn't matter what your names are.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
God created the heaven. He created the earth. He created
the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
That's right. It's like that Eminem song, Lose Yourself, where he says, back to reality. Here we go again. 55 degrees, overcast, a little bit of rain in the forecast today, maybe after 9 p.m. And we're coming to you live from the corner of 6th and Market, beautiful downtown Canton. Whether it's sunny or rainy, we still love it right here on the Kenny and JT Show. What's up?
Yo, man, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to see if you and I were going to go cover the Browns in Brazil this year against the the Philadelphia Eagles. And I can tell the boss, Larry Gothrop, is he in Brazil? I mean, he's somewhere.
He's in Mexico.
Oh, there it is. He doesn't have to worry about footing the bill for us now going to Brazil.
You knew he was out of town when I showed up to work in sweats today. Thank you. Who's going to turn me in? He's not here.
Gosh. But, yeah, so that finally came down today that the Browns are not opening the season against the Eagles in Brazil. Yeah. It will be the Green Bay Packers playing against
Florida. Wait a minute. Their airport's not long enough. I heard a story. He said that they can't get that plane off the runway if they're leaving from Green Bay. They're going to have to fly out of Milwaukee. Ooh.
What?
Speaking of Milwaukee.
What? Ooh, what happened?
Last night, Giannis went down. He might have a Chisenhall.
You know what? They imaged him this morning, and they said the tendon, what is it? The Achilles tendon is fine, but you're right. The Chisenhall could linger and linger and linger, and yet they still beat the Celtics even without him yesterday in the fourth quarter.
They had a huge lead before he went down, and it was one of those injuries like that guy. What was that in the Super Bowl where the guy's coming onto the field, and he blew out his Achilles?
Yeah.
Dude, there was nobody around him. He just went down like a ton of bricks. He started grabbing at his leg. Uh-oh. Ooh.
Stick a fork in them, man. Ooh. Seriously. A stick of four, they're done, because that's going to link. That just doesn't. We know this from Lonnie Chisenhall.
And
Chisenhall, you don't do as much running, jumping, sliding, stopping in baseball as you do in basketball.
No.
There ain't no way he's going to be 100%.
Go back to when it happened to Kevin Durant. Durant thought he pulled a muscle, tried to come back too soon, and boom, he snapped that Achilles.
You know what? I didn't look it up. I'm pulling it up right now. Now, they won last night, and they have a two-game lead over the Cavaliers for the Central Division Championship.
Right.
Okay, but didn't we point out that if the Cavaliers end up tied with them, they would have the tiebreaker in the division and for the higher seed? Mm-hmm. I think they do. So it's four games they have left, right?
Right.
So they are against four games they have left, right?
Right.
So they are against Orlando tonight. That's a loss. At Oklahoma City, that's a loss because they're battling for playoff seeding. And then they're at Orlando. They could lose all three of those games, and all the Cavaliers would have to do is win two out of the last three.
Listen to what you just said.
I know.
Cavaliers are an 18.5-point favorite tonight. Everybody thinks they're just going to roll over this team, Memphis.
18.5 is
double
the spread?
Double check. I saw 18.5 earlier.
Oh, my God. Who's not playing for the Hornets then tonight?
John Morant?
Donovan must. or it's not the Hornets, the Grizzlies. Does that mean that Mitchell is playing since it's that high?
I didn't see him on the injury report.
Okay.
Why would you risk him?
Against them? Right. Well, did you see him play in the second half against the
Grizzlies are 27-52, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if they cover or not, because we want to get some more guys, probably some minutes. Because, you do want to start maybe, I hate to say it, saving some of your starters, load management. But the problem is, at 27-52, that team's already packed it in. I don't care if the Cavaliers cover, but they have to win convincingly.
Right now, this is me saying this, Mr. Degenerate Gambler, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about the spreads. I just want them to get the highest seed they can get, and then I'll worry about spreads in the playoffs. I want the highest seed possible to have home court advantage. They need every advantage they can get at this point in the season.
Problem with the Cavaliers, as I've told you the last couple of days, is Is it coaching? Is it talent? We go back and forth, back and forth. There was a point in time during the season where they said, J.B. Bickerstaff, you and I, at the beginning of the season, when they were struggling, is it coaching? Then all of a sudden they go on those two big winning streaks. All of a sudden we go from questioning the coaching staff to J.B. Bickerstaff may be coach of the year. Now, every day, and as lousy as they've played since, let's face it, before the All-Star break, forget about coach of the year, is this guy on the hot seat?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. It may not be hot, but it's warm, right? He reached, oh, that's a little toasty. Yeah, oh, okay, well, sitting down. I'll stand up. I don't know if I should sit down on that sucker.
You get to this point in time right now, and everybody you needed to lose last night didn't. All the teams that you wanted to lose last night in the East all won with three games remaining, for us anyway. Right. And they just have to really take care of their own business, and they'll end up at 3, 4, or 5. And I don't mind being 4 or 5 if I get to take on the Knicks because, again,
you
I go
want
back.
The Knicks.
Well, I go back to this. If there's a team that you want and you're the Cavaliers and maybe have a chip on your shoulder and against the team that you're playing in the East, it should be the New York Knickerbockers. You should still have that bad taste in your mouth. You got beat 4 games to out of 5 last year in that first round of the playoffs. Everybody thought you were going to win. Maybe they just went into it big-headed, thought this is no challenge. They got shoved around. They learned their lesson all offseason. What do we hear? We got to get tougher. We got to shoot the three better. Well, they take more threes, but against a tougher team, that team pushes you out. You're not making them like you did early on in the season. It's a totally different season now, and they're showing maybe if they don't have the toughness, the mental toughness to play games that are meaningful, and I was trying to look through and see what the Cavaliers' record was against teams that are 500 or better.
Yeah.
Every team's good when you get to the playoffs.
It's true. It's a great point. You're not. There are no cupcakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody to get fat on like they did. And I went back to look. Because we said at the time where even they had those injuries, we said, you know what? This is an easy portion of the schedule. This is a good place to build up some leverage by knocking off these crap teams, and that's what they were, the crap. Let's see. During that stretch, JT, they played teams at the end of January. It started Detroit, Memphis, San Antonio. Sacramento was one of the decent teams at the time, but we find out now they're about a 500 team, a little over. Washington, Brooklyn, Toronto, Philadelphia without Embiid, Chicago. So they did have an easy schedule, and maybe we gave them too much credit based on who they were playing, and we didn't take that into consideration.
They also respond by beating teams like Dallas, Boston, Milwaukee. But it just leads you down that path of, okay, they're teasing you. Are they good enough to play up or down to the level of the competition? And if they play lousy against the really bad teams in the NBA, then you're not good enough to beat the good teams, in my opinion, when the games matter.
All right. What I'm doing right now is I'm looking at New York, Orlando, Cleveland, and Milwaukee, who they have left, when they play, and everything. All right. You ready for this? Tell me how you feel about this. Milwaukee, we just mentioned.
Right.
They're home tonight against Orlando, no Giannis. They're Friday at OKC, and they're Sunday at Orlando. So their last two games are on the road. They win one out of the three games, okay? They pretty much shut the Cavaliers out, okay? Cavaliers, Memphis at home tonight, Friday home against Indiana, Sunday home against Charlotte. There's two out of three for sure, you would think, even with the way they've been playing. Orlando at Milwaukee tonight, at Philadelphia Friday, and Philly needs that win, right? Sunday, they've got Milwaukee at home. So for them, two out of three I'm looking at. New York Knicks at Boston Thursday. Is Boston going to play anybody till the playoffs as far as players go?
I watched a little bit of their game last night. They had all their players last night against the Bucks, and they got blown out.
But did you – I read the post-game story. There were two free throws shot in the entire game, meaning they were shooting all jump shots, threes, 50-some threes. So I wonder, like I said – they'll, okay, go out there, run a little bit, stay in shape. We don't care if we win or lose. We're not, we're the number one seed no matter what.
Hard to tell.
Right? New York's got at Boston tomorrow, Brooklyn home Friday, Chicago home Sunday. I look for the Knicks to win two out of three, if not all three. Okay? All right. So the Cavaliers have to win two out of three if they want to end up 3, 4, or 5. Have a chance.
What do you got for the Pacers?
The Pacers. The Indiana Pacers. I didn't pull them up. But
you're only a half game ahead of them.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. And we go head-to-head, right?
Right.
So that could be huge. let's see here. Coming up for the Pacers, here's their remaining schedule. Indiana, as they are. Now, they only have two games left. Okay. How about that? They won their last game at Toronto by 17. They have a three-game winning streak. They close at Cleveland Friday, Sunday home against Atlanta.
Sunday, Atlanta.
Yeah. Sunday. So that's the Indiana Pacers. Only two games left, and those are winner. If I'm a Pacers fan, I'm looking at that going, yeah, we should beat Cleveland on Friday, right, based on how they're playing, and we should beat Atlanta at home on Sunday.
Atlanta's in the play-in. They're at 10, and they've got about a five-game lead over whoever's in the 11th spot, which is the Brooklyn Nets. So they're eliminated. So Atlanta, does it matter to them? They don't care. They're going to go through the play-in anyway, right?
Absolutely. They have nothing more. So, yeah. Or let me say it this way. They do have something to play for. They could move up to the number 9 spot, right? Because Chicago's only a game ahead of them. So they have something to play. It's going to be real interesting to see the lineups for all these teams over the next three
games. Does it matter? I mean, when we get close to the playoffs, I mean, I keep going back to when LeBron was here. It didn't matter where you ended up. And a lot of times, they ended up in the 4th spot and ended up winning the East. We're not that team. We know that. But does it really matter? I mean, when you look at the logjam, which is the East, the Eastern Conference, with the exception of maybe Boston, does it really matter? I mean, you can look at any one of those teams. You can take any matchup you want, and on any given night versus obviously a series, anybody can beat anybody. I don't feel good about the Cavaliers' chances right now because if the regular season means something, they didn't play well down the stretch. But you can say the same about other teams like New York because as bad as the Cavaliers have been playing recently, why did they only recently slip past or behind teams like the Knicks and the teams that are ahead of them? The Knicks should have ran away with this too, and I know they're injured, and I know other teams are banged up too, but it just goes to show you the East isn't what we see out West. But then again, you got teams like Phoenix out West that get absolutely destroyed yesterday against the Clippers. How does that happen? And the Cavaliers should have beat the Clippers. Does this mean anything? Or does it just mean something once you get to the postseason?
Did you see what the score was at one point in that Phoenix game?
It was like a UConn game.
They were losing, 53-16 in an NBA game.
Dude,
at one point,
it was like 35-4 or 36-5. I mean, the beginning of that game was like a UConn game.
I'm trying to find. Okay, here we go. Eastern Conference winner. Right now, they have the Celtics as the overwhelming favorite. Milwaukee second, +550. Dude, I'm tempted right now at plus, not to win the NBA championship, JT, just to win the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia is +750.
They look nice.
Those are some really good odds. If I really knew if Embiid is fine and will be able to play throughout the playoffs, I'd throw $10 down on them just to win the Eastern Conference.
I don't see why you wouldn't. I don't know much about it. I really haven't watched them play as much when Embiid went down. If he's 100%, I haven't seen Boston because they've ran away with the East all season long. But I can you look past Boston and everybody's picked them to win it, let alone whether or not it's the East or the entire thing? I don't know.
What did I tell you yesterday, though? Do they have the mental fortitude and understanding, right, to know that if that three ball, which they shoot the most, I think, of anybody in the league, if that's not going down, will they stop shooting it and attack the basket? I don't know,
man,
if they're smart enough as a team and as a coach.
Nobody questioned the toughness of the Cavaliers last season as much as we thought until they played the Knicks. We don't know who's going to show up and how they're going to play in the playoffs. If the 76ers take on the Boston Celtics, is Porzingis tough enough to guard the paint and really have his way against Joel Embiid, who probably can't be at 100% right now? I don't know.
here's what I think if that matchup occurs early, right? I think what teams will do with Embiid, okay, if you don't have somebody to match up with him, you'll let him get his, like they did with Edie the other night. UConn did, right? Let Edie score 37. Let's take away everybody else or one of the other two top scorers. So in that case, it would be Maxey, right? Let's focus all our defensive attention on Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
Let Embiid get his because we don't have anybody to stop him anyways.
It's so different in the postseason. I mean, it really is. It's a different style of ball. Maybe the threes aren't flying as much. Maybe Boston tries to be a little bit more physical. Maybe they try to attack the basket in the playoffs. Who knows?
Are you excited about the playoffs in the NBA with the Cavaliers or no?
I'd be more excited if they finished the regular season better. And I don't mean these last three games. I've been down on this team, Kenny. I've been down on Evan Mobley. I've been down on Darius Garland. Donovan Mitchell obviously banged up. And what's the things that we start hearing now? When things don't go well, the first thing you hear, Donovan Mitchell's not going to sign that extension. He's not happy. He wants out. We don't know if that's the case. We don't know if it's he's down on his teammates. And again, I'm going to continually go back to this until we figure out what team shows up in the postseason. Is it the team? Is it the personnel? Or is it the coaching? We have no idea.
Great point. I don't know what to expect.
Right? Because you know what's going to really suck?
What?
If it is the coaching, and then all of a sudden you decide, well, you know, we are banged up all year long. Let's just go ahead and break this team up and keep J.B. Bickerstaff. Well, what if Donovan Mitchell goes to the Heat and they win it all? Or what if Donovan Mitchell gets traded to the Lakers and they win it all? And then all of a sudden you're sitting there on the outside looking in going, remember when he was number 45 in the Wine and Gold? That sucks.
Yeah, it does. It does. I was doing the podcast with Michael Regei the other night, and Reg told him, he said, in typical Michael fashion, Roadman, I don't give a damn what anybody else says. You ain't winning a championship with 2-6-1 guards your go-to guys. And I agree with him, man.
But to make it worse, you're not going to win it with 2 7-foot centers either.
No, maybe not. So you have 2 7-foot centers and 2 6-1 you know,
you know guards. What, you know what makes me feel good?
What?
You know, you talk about these guys, and if they don't sign an extension, they go elsewhere. And it's unfortunate what happened to Shane Bieber. And we look at the Guardians and say, man, would have been nice. We could have traded him. They're bringing up that Holiday kid from the Orioles. Would have been nice to maybe a team that's in dire need. I don't say dire need, but is in need of a starting pitcher. And you could have traded him to Baltimore and maybe got a really good outfielder. Fine. Mm. Forget about that now because we don't know what's going to happen. But you know what gives me lets me rest at night?
What?
The New York Mets are 4-7.
Okay.
Take that, Francisco Lindor. I mean,
are you still holding a grudge against
Dude,
Frankie?
There are still people that hold a grudge against LeBron James. Why can't I hold one against Frankie Lindor and his Corona commercials?
Here's why. Here's why I think it's different, okay? And I'll compare, I'll throw these three together.
All right.
Players that left that some people would be pissed at or the way they left, right? LeBron, the TV special.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Tomey, I'm never leaving Cleveland.
You have to tear this jersey off my back. Bye.
I want to be like Tony Gwynn in the Padres. Yeah. I want to play here forever. And Francisco Lindor. Francisco Lindor never promised to stay with the Cleveland Indians / Guardians.
So what? Neither did Albert Bell. But it still hurt when he left.
He never, it did hurt, but he didn't, you know, pull the rug out from underneath you, the old banana in the tailpipe trick, stab you in the back, however you want to say it, okay?
The old banana in the tailpipe. You got
me. Fall for the old banana in the tailpipe trick.
So started that. What, Brian, what is that?
That's from.
Does it really make that noise? I've never seen a banana big enough to stop up a tailpipe. Boom! Stop it!
So that's why I'm not, and Frank, you know me. Frankie was my favorite Indian since Manny Ramirez. Mm-hmm. He was, and I still, you know, check and see how he's doing, and yeah, his team stinks, and he hasn't lived up to the expectations. But he never came out and said, I'm never leaving. We knew Frankie wanted the money, right? We knew Frankie wanted the spotlight. So when he left, yeah, I was bummed, but I knew the Guardians, I'll call them the Guardians because that's what I remember, the Guardians' ownership wasn't going to pay him. So right. that was expected.
Okay, Tommy, but I'll give you Lindor a little bit because he's more of a celebrity than these other guys. Because these other guys, right. as far as I know, Albert Bell was never going to be the face of a beer company or anything else that the guy's pitching. He's a good pitch man. Good-looking right. kid. Everybody yeah. knows who he is. You see his picture. And in a league where a lot of people, with the exception of Ohtani, you don't know who they are.
Right.
Everybody knows when you see Francisco Lindor, you know who he is. I'm glad they stink.
You still have a crush.
Go sell yeah. clothes.
Well, maybe this will make you feel a little bit better baseball.
All right.
I look at this team, and right now they're 8-3, right? The Guardians?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Minnesota was going to be the division winner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not impressed with them. Chicago, yeah, the Guardians lost 7-5 yesterday, but we did get a winner,
that's right.
thanks to you.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, they're still
in
hitting the ball.
Giannino's contest.
Not for lack of effort. They're down 5-0 after the first. They come back and tie that game 5-5 before they lose. But we had it over what, 7.5 hits, right?
Right. They ended up with 8-2. Did you see? You texted me when they got their 8th hit, and then they didn't get a hit after that.
It's all right. We didn't need any more.
That was it.
We had already won the $75 gift card. Who's the guy who won? This is Will Robb, the man with two first names. He's your
winner. It. You could call him Rob Will, if it, you know how they put your last name first. Your first name
William back. Robb.
Or
Wait
Rob
a minute.
William. What?
Isn't that Bill Robb?
Isn't
William the same as Bill?
Yeah.
That's like, what's the other one that you can call somebody else depending on their first name?
What's it called?
Yeah. There a name for
there
that?
There is.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. What is it, Brian, when you have two names that are the same? Like my
two
cousin.
First names?
Like my cousin, JoJo.
JoJo.
Joseph, Joseph.
Yes. Theodore, at Baldwin Wallace College.
He's from Canton, too, by the way.
I would just say it's redundant.
No, there's a name for it.
There is something like that. Yeah. So I look at this division, and while I don't think the Guardians have a chance at all of winning the World Series, especially, and we're going to hear from Shane Bieber at some point today because he spoke with the media, right? His arm is hurting. Elbow surgery is done for the year. Without him, they've got no chance of winning the World Series. But guess what? They got a chance at contending for this division because it stinks.
Our pitching staff is still banged up, and the starters aren't even 100%. You can look at Tristan McKenzie. He doesn't look 100% yet. Logan Allen didn't look good yesterday, and the
one
Guardians,
bad inning,
yeah,
right?
But still, that's you can't do that when you're going to be the number two or three guy in a rotation right now against a team that really stinks in Chicago. So the only thing we know is that division still is pretty bad. But
yeah.
get there, and who knows what can happen? And we know it's early in the season, and the competition hasn't been great. But guess what happens? With the exception of Tampa Bay last year, they got off to that that great start. Remember, they were like. What are they, like 20-0 or something?
I forget
ridiculous.
What it was, but it was like, man, they've clinched the division already. And did they? I don't know. Did they end up winning the division?
Or
did they end up losing it?
I think they – I can't remember, but I don't think they ended up as good as they started.
Oh, heck
way.
No. I know that because they hit hot times, Daddy. That's what they hit at
By the
some
way,
point.
I did look this up yesterday before we signed off, and we were wondering where we stand in the pecking order as far as home runs are concerned at this point in time. 10 games in, now 11 for the Guardians. Guardians have, I believe, eight home runs.
Yeah.
This time last year, after 10 games, they had 10.
Oh.
They had four in one game, though.
Ah, big game, yeah. Hey, Baltimore caught the Rays and passed them and won the division last year. So
there you go.
You know, great start doesn't necessarily mean you win the division, but hey, we'll take 8-3.
Let's get a double winner tonight. Let's get a Guardians winner against the White Sox. Let's get the Cavaliers over the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's go.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.